So let's read Ezekiel 36, and we're going to read verses 5 and verses 6. It says this, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country." Verse number 6 says this, "Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and hills, the rivers and the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy, in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nations." The part of this verse that struck me was the phrase that he has spoken in his burning jealousy. Just such a fantastic phrasing, his burning jealousy. It's really an incredible description of what the Lord has and the passion that he has for us. And why is this important? It's important because how we view God, it matters as how we worship him. If we think of God as an angry God, who's always angry at us, always disappointed with us, always thinking that we come up short, then this is the way we go to him, and we'll be more hesitant to go to him. Just as natural relationships, if you probably all experience that, where someone, a boss or a parent or a friend or a spouse, might be disappointed or angry at you, and you say, "Well, I don't really want to go. I don't really want to approach them so much because I know that they're not so happy with me." And many times, whether we say it or whether we don't, this is the way we think of God. "Well, I haven't done so good this week, and I haven't done, and this is wrong in my life, and I did this wrong. And so I'm a little hesitant to go to God, and I'm not worthy, and we're not worthy except by the blood of Jesus. But thank you, by the blood of Jesus, we are more than worthy. We are righteous in his sight, according to what the Bible tells us." And if we think of God in a way that is not correct, we'll be hesitant to go. And especially go boldly before him, like the Bible tells us. We can come boldly into the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. And here we have a great picture of God, because he says he spoke in his burning jealousy. And why did he have burning jealousy? It was because a group of people, the Edomites, they came against the Israelites, his people. And God did not like that somebody was touching his people. God did not like that the land that he had given was being given over and taken over by someone that he did not give it to. So God spoke in his burning jealousy. One of the definitions that we could say of jealousy is to be fiercely protective. It's not the only definition. One of the definitions of jealousy, to be fiercely protective of something that you possess. To be fiercely protective of something that you possess. And that certainly applies to our relationship that we have with God, because we are his possession. The Word of God tells us this in many, many places, that we're his possession. And isn't that a wonderful thing? Because God is fiercely protective of his possession. He's fiercely protective of us. He doesn't want anything to happen to us. He doesn't want anything to get too close to us that might harm us. You might think of it as a mom watching over her child on the playground. And the mom's usually sitting off on a bench talking with other moms or other adults. And they might see somebody getting a little too close. Some strange person that they don't know who it is. And they see the person getting a little bit too close for comfort. And all of a sudden the chatter that's going on between the adults stops. And the ears perk up and the stance gets a little straighter as they watch. What's going to happen? Is this person really a threat? Is this person too close to the one that I love? Too close to the one that I care about? It's almost like that mom turns into a little lioness at the time. And they're looking to see, do I run? Do I do something? Do I attack? Right? You can almost see the little hump go up on the back and like, okay, the claws are ready. Because there is a fierce protectiveness of the one that she loves. No one's going to harm my child while I'm watching. No one's going to encroach into an area where they don't belong with something that I love so greatly. And this is the jealousy that God has for you and for me, because we are His possession. We are His possession. The Bible tells this in many, many cases. In Zechariah 2, verse 8, it says, "He who touches us touches the apple of his eye." And so many verses throughout the Bible, they make more sense when you read them in light of God's jealousy towards us. He who touches us touches the apple of his eye, because when you touch us, you touch God, because that's the love and the power. The power of his love, even as we sang today, that he has towards us. We are his possession. We are his possession. We are redeemed by him. We are his possession. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "We're his possession. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is his." That's what it says. Glorify God in your body, which is his. We are his. He has purchased us. He has purchased us on the cross with the price of his blood. And now, he says, his actions are, "I am jealous for you. I am fiercely protective of the one that I possess." And isn't it a beautiful thought that God is there to protect us in our situations? Maybe we have to go through some difficult things, because he also is molding us into his image. And we do have to go through things. And sometimes the Bible does say that we have to be disciplined by the Lord, but he disciplines us for our good and not for his good. Not for his pleasure. It's of course for his good. But he says that he will discipline us. But the overall actions of the Lord or his jealousy is there to protect us. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You were sealed with the Holy Spirit." You were sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you came to him, he put a seal around you. The Holy Spirit, it says, the Holy Spirit was given as a guarantee of our inheritance. It was given as a guarantee of our inheritance until the time of the redemption of the purchased possession. Because you have been purchased. You are a possession of God if you have submitted your life to him and asked him to be Lord. You are his possession. And part of jealousy, part of the definition of jealousy, is to be fiercely protective of something that you possess. God is fiercely protective of you. You can see it throughout the Bible in so many places. Isaiah 43:1, it says, "Fear not, for I have called you by name. I have called you by name, and you are mine. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Isn't it a beautiful thing that you are the Lord's? You are the Lord's possession. And God takes care of his possessions. He takes care of the ones that he loves. He takes care of the ones that have been submitted to him in his burning jealousy. And there are so many verses that go along with this same thing. You could read Psalm 18. It's a beautiful psalm. It talks about how when something gets too close to us, that God just rises up. He rides on the clouds. He comes with lightning. There's There's smoke coming out of his nostrils. He is just going to protect those that he loves. It's just a beautiful picture. And it's a beautiful understanding of God being jealous for you. God fiercely protecting. God wanting to protect those that he loves. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of who God is. And that is the God that we serve. And so we can come to him. We can come to him and not have fear. We can come to him boldly because we know how much he loves us. He loves us in this incredible way. And once we understand his love, we will run to him in times of difficulty. And we'll run to him when things are good as well. Because we know he is there for us. And he is there to protect us. This is who our God is. There is a verse in Revelation 1. It's verse number 14. Revelation 1 and verse 14. It says this. It's a great description of God. Revelation 1 and 14. It says this. It describes God and how he looks. It says his head and his hair were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His eyes were a flame of fire. Remember, this verse also says not only is he jealous, but he has burning jealousy for us. It describes to me the passion that God has. It's not just a jealousy for us. It is a burning jealousy for you. A burning jealousy for you. And now we have this great description of God where it says his eyes are a flame of fire. And I believe it's in Matthew, maybe chapter 6, where it says that the eyes are a lamp, or the lamp of the body is the eye. And if the eye is bright, if the eye is good, it says if the eye is good, then the whole body is bright. But if the eye is bad, how great is the darkness? It's kind of saying that if your eye tells what's inside. If your eye is good, then the whole body is full of light. If the eye is bad, then great is that darkness. It says what you see in the eyes is what is throughout the whole body. And what we see here is that the eyes of the Lord are a flame of fire, and there is passion in him. There is passion in his eye. There's a fire in his eyes. Because he has a burning jealousy, a burning love for us. He has a burning love for us. It's in his eyes. That flame of fire. That is his eyes. And that is part of who he is. Who he is, that he is a God filled with passion, filled with emotion towards us. It's a great emotion towards us. In the Song of Solomon, just a great verse which says, the king says, when he says to his bride, he says, "You have ravished me with one look of your eyes." You have ravished me with one look of your eyes. The implications of that are just astounding. When you look towards the Lord, he is ravished by that. He loves us so greatly that the Bible tells us that he is ravished by one look of your eyes. Not the angry God that many of us believe. Not the disappointed God. Yes, we do things wrong. He's a loving God above all of these things. He's ravished by one look of our eyes. If you read through even the rest of much of the Song of Solomon, difficult book to understand, I do agree. But when you read through it, you see that the bride is even immature. Her love is not perfect, just like our love is not perfect. And yet God says these wonderful things about her, even in that state. He's not necessarily waiting until we're mature, fully mature, our love is fully grown to say he loves us.
He says he loves us, considers us beautiful, even in our immature state, even in the state where we're struggling in our heart, wants to do what's good, but sometimes we fail. And it is at that point that God, through the king and this great love song that they have, he calls her beautiful. Even though we ourselves might not consider ourselves beautiful at all, but in God's eyes, he says, "You're beautiful to me." And he has a burning jealousy towards us. He even tells us in John, that great prayer, John 17, he says, "I desire that those who you gave me would be with me, that where I am, they may be also. I desire, there's a strong desire of God to be with us. There is a passion that is burning in him to be with us. What would send Jesus to the cross other than a burning passion for us to be with him? His burning desire sent him from heaven to earth to the cross. Amazing. It is an amazing picture of his love for us. Another definition of jealous could be fiercely wanting to be number one. Fiercely wanting to be number one in the lives of someone that you love. This is another way that God comes across. He wants to be number one in our lives. He doesn't want competition. He doesn't want other things encroaching on his place in our lives. And he seems to be watching all the time. Where is our heart? Where is your heart? Where is their heart? Is this thing becoming too great in their heart? Is this part of their life becoming too great in their heart? He knows that we have things that we must do. But when they begin to take the place of him, when they begin to usurp who he is in our life, then his jealousy kicks in, because he is also fiercely wanting to be number one in our lives. That's what we committed to when we said he's going to be our Lord. He's going to be our Lord. He's going to be our King. He's going to be number one in our lives. This jealous God is looking to be number one. He's looking to see where your heart is. He's looking to see who you love most. Is it him, or is it him plus many other things? Where does God fit in? Only you can answer that. Only your life. Examine your life to see where is God in the middle of so many things. We are a culture that can do so many activities. And where does God fit into all of those activities in your life? And throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament prophets, the Bible calls all these other activities and the things that people get into, he calls them other lovers. Right? You've seen that phrase. You see it all over in the prophets. God calls the things that get in our lives, he calls them other lovers. Because he knows they are where our heart could set. Our heart could be set on these other things that come in our lives. And so he calls them, and rightly so, other lovers. And he says, those other lovers, will they deliver you in the time when you have difficulties? Will you go to them? They will be useless to you. He wants to be number one because he is jealous for you. He is jealous for you. And sometimes he even removes some of these other lovers from our lives. Sometimes he takes them away because they are getting too close. They are getting too close. And we are giving them too much attention in our hearts. You see, God will remove hindrances to love. He will remove hindrances to our love for Him. If they're getting too much in the way, God will remove the hindrances that are in our lives. The hindrances to love. If they're preventing our love for Him to be great, He will remove them.
Because He's a jealous God. Because He's a God that wants all of our affection. The last place I would have you turn is to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the last couple of verses. They are very familiar, but also very powerful. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. They say this: "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is another picture of the burning jealousy of God. He's saying there's nothing that's going to separate you from my love. No matter what comes against you, my love's going to be there. No matter what tries to separate you, my love's going to be there. No matter how much comes up, no matter what the circumstances, my love is going to be there. It's not going to separate you. You might have to go through something difficult, my love is there. He even says, and I love that he throws this in there, he says, "Nor any created thing is going to be able to separate you. Your man is not going to be able to separate you. Friends are not going to be able to separate you. Enemies are not going to be able to separate you. Even you. You're a created thing as well. And even you are not going to be able to separate yourself from the love of God, because it's that powerful. It is that strong." God says, there is no created thing, and that includes us, who's going to be able to separate us from His love. Because His love is a powerful force that is able to overcome all that comes in our life. No matter what it is, His love overcomes. And His love will be there. And it will not be separated from us by anything that this life can throw at us, this life, or even the spiritual darkness that could come against us. He said, angels, principalities, it doesn't matter. Things on this earth, things under the earth, doesn't matter where you find it, what you say, what you call it, it can't separate. It won't separate. Because His love is greater than all of that. This is the God you serve. This is the God that you go to. This is the God that's waiting for you to come into His presence. This is the God that tore the veil so that you could come into His presence. It's an amazing story that God has for us. And we could go to God confidently knowing that He wants us in His presence. We could go to God confidently knowing that He is a jealous God for us, that He has a burning jealousy for us, that He has a burning love for us, a burning affection for us, that He wants us to love Him with the same intensity, and He wants us to love Him with the same devotion. And He wants us even to have that same jealousy towards Him. Nothing's going to get in the way of my prayer time. Nothing's going to get in the way of my devotion time. Nothing's going to get in the way of my time with God. He wants us to have that same burning devotion to Him. And we can go to God knowing that He is a jealous God, that He loves us so greatly. We don't have to be worried about what He's thinking about us. The blood of Jesus takes care of all of our sins. We could run to Him in our time of need and know that He is our God, a God of burning jealousy for us, and may His name be praised. Amen.